This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Got to update you on some college basketball going on right now. Ohio State, with about 13 minutes to go, leads Oregon on the road in Eugene, 48-43. In a game where we're on the over between Gonzaga and Santa Clara, right now it is Gonzaga 25. Santa Clara 23, hanging in within that number. We went over 164, I want to say it was. 164, we're pacing for 169.5, so that is looking pretty solid there. But we have to get back to college football and the NFL, wild card weekend. We haven't even touched on it yet because we sweated out an awesome Fiesta Bowl to help us make sense of what we just saw, preview the Peach Bowl, look at the national title and all of the NFL matchups this week. We're going to go out to the Progressive Guest Line, welcoming our buddy Sam Brookhouse, Sumer Sports, at Sam Brookhouse on X, and he joins us now, Progressive Guest Line. Sam, you got to talk to me. Miami with the win, 31-27. It's the end of the road for Ole Miss. Just an awesome story, just galvanizing after Lane Kiffin leaving. But Miami, crystal ball. They almost weren't in the playoff. Now they're proving the committee right, that they belonged, and they're going to go to the national title game. What did you like from their performance tonight in their win in the Fiesta Bowl?
So coming into this game, the matchup that I was really looking at was the run offense of Miami, which has been decent in tough positions in the playoffs, but throughout the season was not immensely reliable, versus the run defense of Ole Miss, which was very unreliable during the season, led to some of their losses, but has shored up as the season went on. And it ended up that the running game brought them home. Kyle Fletcher, extremely well done, running behind Maui Goa, running behind Cooper. A lot of those offensive linemen, big bodies, powerful play. Mario Cristobal, former O-line coach, that powerful play is what generated the offense for them. It didn't feel like it because Trinidad Chambliss had such an excellent game, but you look at expected points added per play, that puts the yards in context. And Miami had a 76th percentile game, so solidly above average. Ole Miss, 31st percentile. They were really trying to get explosives. That big Kwon Lacy run really set them apart. A lot of field goals forced by the Miami defense, bend but don't break, and that's the reason they end up coming out with a victory and now playing on their home turf for the college football playoff championship.
When I say this statement, you can tell me if I'm being crazy, but in the national title game, whether it's Oregon or Indiana, Malachi Toney will be the most talented player on the field?
Man, it's going to be tough because Fernando Mendoza is an immense talent. He probably is going to be the number one pick as it stands right now. But Malachi Toney is what we call a game breaker, and he's a game breaker as a 17-18-year-old. They call that man in Miami Baby Jesus because when he was in high school, he was the whole offense, and he made it happen. Three-star recruit who ends up coming to a four-star recruit, stays home and is able to break tackles, be explosive. We've seen him do it on special teams. We've seen him do it at the wide receiver position. We've seen him do it on fly sweeps and handoffs. And the thing that I love the most as a draft analyst is he blocks. He blocks like a man. When you got a 5'9 guy getting in there, getting his nose dirty, getting up to the second level, inserting on linebackers, that's how you know someone is for real. I think Malachi Toney is a real, real danger and maybe a Heisman candidate next year, maybe the year after that. I would definitely start looking into that right now.
Sam Brookhouse is with us, Sumer Sports. You've got a new thing, Sumer Live, that you guys are unveiling this weekend. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what they'll see?
Yeah, so during a game, sometimes it's difficult to get an idea of what is going on. And if you go check your ESPN app, you'll get yards and you'll get the box score. But if you want to go a level deeper and understand live what is happening during the game, particularly if you've read a lot in the week prior, you can go get live charting data from sumersports.com/live. It will be updating even before the television comes up. And so in particular, something that I will be looking at, the Rams versus Panthers game. The Rams have an excellent play action offense. The Panthers have an excellent play action defense. This is something you cannot check anywhere else on the internet, but at SoomerSports.com/live, you can keep track of the success of play action, the rate of play action. And if that starts going the Rams way, that could be a great idea to bet them live. But if the Panthers, the home dog here, are stifling that 13 personnel play action game, that's a great sign that perhaps that won't be priced in. So SoomerSports.com/live for that game and others. There's great stats. We have a newsletter, the Stats Keep Podcast, which can help set you up for this, but you'll be able to get immense live data that you can't get anywhere else.
Talk to me about the Peach Bowl. Well, how do you feel about Indiana and Oregon? Right now, Hoosiers laying 3.5, totals 48.5. Do you think Indiana just cruises and wins, or does Oregon get revenge on the regular season loss?
Yeah, it's a real tough one because you break it down. These teams are kind of mirrors of each other. On particular on offense, they're led by their quarterbacks, and their quarterbacks are not the Joe Burrow type going to make the massive throws. They're not the Cam Newton type going to run all over you. They are going to win on a play-by-play basis. Both of these teams are not immensely explosive, but they are successful at just keeping in front of the chains play-by-play-by-play. That is why we've been able to see them succeed over teams that have an immense amount of talent, such as the Ohio States of the world and so forth and so on. And so it's really going to be kind of a chess match. Which one of these teams can be more successful? I, for one, think that Indiana has really underrated speed, both on the defense, D'Angelo Pons, the cornerback. On offense, you got Surratt, you got all these other players that they brought over in the transfer portal and are now bringing in the transfer portal even more if you've been keeping up with that for next year. So I like Indiana here, but what I really like is the under. I think this game is going to be a piece by piece, chunk by chunk, carve a victory out match. And I think that's going to be the story of this game.
All right. Do you think that either of these teams could lose to Miami, or do you think Miami can keep it close or even beat either Oregon or Indiana?
I think the thing that we've learned from these college playoff games going back to last year is that when you have to go 13, 14 weeks deep, the trenches matter. An off game from Reuben Bain and some of the other defensive linemen from Miami this game, I think, you know, Trinidad Chambliss doesn't take sacks. So the quarterback has a lot to do with that. And you think about those statistics I gave you of an unsuccessful on a play-by-play basis game from Ole Miss. That's because they were trying to get the ball out fast and try to not let those guys take over. So as a result, I think Miami has the best trench warfare in the NCAA right now. It's very similar to what Ohio State and Notre Dame were doing to teams last year. So I think Miami, I really kind of like them no matter who they face, really, because I think they're going to be able to win up front on both sides of the ball.
Wow. I love to hear it. I got Miami 16-1, and I've lost a lot of money hedging that ticket the last two games because I have not believed that they were going to do it. But you know what? The recipe there is sustainable. Win at the line of scrimmage. You can win these games. Sam Brookhouse is our guest. Sumer Sports. Check out Sumer Live over on their website so you can see live advanced numbers throughout the flow of all these games wildcard weekend. Let's go to wildcard weekend. I'm going to throw a weird one at you because I have not heard many strong cases for the Buffalo Bills this week. They're going to Jacksonville. They're laying 1.5. The total is 51.5. Everyone I know is on Jacksonville, which always scares me. I like the under in this game. Talk to me about this matchup in Duval.
So I'm heavy on the Bills. Let me make the case for you. And for context right now, on Twitter, at Sam Brookhouse, the Duval County crowd is coming after me for this. But here's really the case of what is going to go on in this game. The Jaguars defense has ranked fourth in EPA per dropback since week 9. They've been very good at stopping the pass. The problem is this is based off of a lot of big plays. It is based off of interceptions, big interceptions, and that's what it really comes down to. The issue is their run defense has been 17th in EPA per designed rush. The Bills have Josh Allen, number one. So that's an X factor that could potentially overcome that lucky offense when you got a guy who can make all those tough throws. But on the flip side, the Bills rushing offense with James Cook, with one of the best offensive lines that has built over the course of the years, and with Josh Allen, is immensely good at running the ball. I think there's a real case that the Bills could come in and just absolutely maul them at the line of scrimmage, create a game that is just controlled by the running game, And then if it ends up having to be close, you got Josh Allen, the X factor. Now, we do have Trevor Lawrence currently on our all pro list as graded by Sumer Scores as the second best right now. That being said, he ended on a heater, several straight awesome games from Trevor Lawrence, but we don't really think he's played up to the all pro level. Historically, we think he's playing more at a Pro Bowl quality starter level. I don't think that's going to be enough to overcome a team, especially given the Jaguars do struggle at running the ball. A team that has a good passing defense and a good rushing offense. This is a really poor matchup on paper for the Jaguars, and that's not even counting Josh Allen.
Wow, that is great stuff. I kind of want to bet Buffalo just to be a contrarian, but until you spoke, my only handicap was they have Josh Allen and Jacksonville doesn't. So appreciate the context. That's the type of info you can get over at Sumer Sports. Check out the Sumer Sports Show over on YouTube as well. And Sumer Live available during these games. You can see live advanced charting data during all the playoff games, and it's completely free. Sam Brockhouse, Sumer Sports, thank you as always for doing this, my friend. We will chat again very soon.
Thank you so much. And if you want one, Bills Birds Super Bowl. That's what I'm going with.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Bills and Eagles. That would be, I'll tell you who wants that. Roger Goodell wants that. The NFL wants that. They want the defending champs going up against the Buffalo Bills looking for their first Super Bowl win. Oh, man. It'd probably be a really ugly game, if we're being fair, but it'd be entertaining. It'd be ugly. It's like a car wreck. It'd be hideous to watch just with that Philadelphia offense, the issues and limitations that Buffalo has offensively, but I can get into it. What's the exacta on that? That is the question. Can I get an exacta up in time here? No, I'm probably not going to find it. You know what's interesting? These sports books, sometimes they move stuff around on you, and you're like, hang on, where is it? I can't find it. Why'd you put it somewhere else? Futures. Name the finalists. Bills. 30-1. That's a juicy number. Hey, there's a coach in the market right now that's going to have his pick of many jobs. We'll discuss that coming up next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the Fiesta Bowl is come and gone. The Miami Hurricanes have advanced to the national championship. 31-27, the win over Ole Miss. Now you look at the hypothetical odds over at FanDuel. Indiana would be a 5.5-point favorite against the Canes. The total would be 44.5. And Oregon, ooh, this just moved. I believe it was 2.5 last I looked. It's now a 3.5-point favorite, unless I'm just making things up. 3.5 right now, Oregon would be the favorite. The total would be 46.5 in either of those matchups. Look, I have 16-1 on Miami. I've been hedging against it the last two. I didn't believe, man. I really didn't believe. And I've lost a lot of money hedging against them. But you know how it goes. If you don't hedge these tickets, it's inevitable. You're not going to have a chance to hedge. You're going to lose outright, and you'll have nothing to show for it. Every time I hedge, my team that I originally bet on wins. Every time I don't hedge, the team loses, and I don't have an opportunity to make money on it. So everyone does it differently. I'm a big hedge, especially if it's a big number, and I bet enough on 16-1 that it matters to me to hedge the ticket there. So we will see what Miami does in the national championship. We'll put college football to the side, and now we'll focus on the NFL and look at the top stories around the league in the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
We begin in Miami. Funny, we go from Miami the Canes to the Miami Dolphins, where Mike McDaniel was fired earlier today by the team, went into a meeting with Stephen Ross, and Stephen Ross decided he didn't like what he heard and ended up letting go of McDaniel. And a lot of people assume it's because John Harbaugh was on the market. That's what I thought initially, but then the report started coming out about the meeting with Ross, and I guess Ross was not impressed. And he realized there's an opportunity to get a few key guys, not just Harbaugh, Stefanski, someone else out there. Bring back Brian Flores. No, I'm just kidding. We know that's not going to happen. But Mike McDaniel, the tenure's over, and he'll have his pick of a lot of jobs as an OC. I don't think it's out of the question he gets a head coaching job. I think maybe Cleveland might make sense because I'm not sure people are running to go there. It'd be tough to watch Mike McDaniel be forced to play with a quarterback, though, who can't do it anymore. That's what he just had with Tua. Why not go somewhere, be coordinator for 2 years? He's young. He'll get another chance to be a head coach in the next 5 years here. So I think that's the move. And when it comes to openings, there's a lot of really good ones. One, Washington, where he has the relationship with Dan Quinn, which he's documented over the last year, and how close they were in Atlanta. When he needed help, he went to Dan Quinn. I think Tampa Bay, Josh Grizzard was let go by the Bucs earlier today, a bunch of assistants as well. And you look at people coaching up Baker Mayfield keep getting head coaching jobs. I think McDaniel, that could be a good fit for him to coach up a guy, Baker Mayfield, who can make the most of an offense. I think Detroit, desperate to find what they lost with Ben Johnson. I think Detroit would pay him a lot of money to fix that offense. But does he believe in Jared Goff? Because it would be tough to go to Detroit and know how limited you are with Jared Goff. Jared Goff's fine. Jared Goff's not special. He's not elite. So you're going to have to scheme it up right. It's a huge upgrade over Tua, so I do think McDaniel would consider it. And then the Raiders. Could he come to the Raiders, where they're going to have the number one pick? Could he go to Baltimore? We could really show off that creativity with Lamar. If this many teams want him to be their OC, that's why I don't think it's out of the question that he ends up being a head coach somewhere. So we will see how it plays out with Mike McDaniel. He is now available, and very curious who they hire, because my first thought was the Giants are out of it for John Harbaugh. Harbaugh's going to go to Miami. They tried to get Jim Harbaugh a while ago. Now they'll just settle for John. I think that's my initial thought, but I might be being too simplistic in thinking that 1 + 1 = 2 here. I also, I'm not so sure that everyone around the league reveres John Harbaugh and what he's accomplished lately, like we all have been. I think there's a way you can look at John Harbaugh through a different lens and say, he's Sean McDermott that won a ring, because the last 5 years have not been very different than Sean McDermott. Elite talent at quarterback, MVP contender, and multi-time winner there with Lamar, yet unable to get over the hump, unable to get to a Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was won a long time ago when Joe Flacco was still a young man. The next story here in the three-point stance, I thought this was an interesting clip that was making the rounds. Jason Kelce, legendary center, probably a future Hall of Famer for the Eagles, went on sports radio in Philadelphia and said he wants this one player involved in the offense more, and it is Tank Bigsby.
Really going to come down to, I think, you know, does the slanting and angle, because they're going to watch the tape, they're going to move those guys. Does the slanting and angling and the miscommunications cost us? Because that's really the only way I see us not running the ball well, especially with Saquon Barkley. I hope to see a pretty decent usage of Tank at this point. I mean, how many times does a guy have to flash to be like, why are we not giving this guy more? You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. And it pairs up so well with what Saquon does. If you want to be, you know, Saquon is so good at reading the zone plays and hitting them front side, hitting them backside. Tank isn't reading anything, I'm convinced. I think he just gets the ball and he just shoom right up. And when you're a linebacker, unless you fill that hole now on a guy like that, he's going to get 4 or 5 yards. You got to come downhill and fill your gap now.
Yeah, anyone who's watched the Eagles, I mean, it's pretty evident Tank Bigsby is running with a lot more explosiveness than Saquon Barkley. I'm not seeing odds for Tank Bigsby rushing just yet, but I would consider it. And by the way, that lines up to 5.5. Eagles laying 5.5 at home, totals 44.5. And there's a world where late in that game, they want to put Saquon on ice, save some mileage for later, and they use Bigsby even more. What about this? Can I convince you to throw Bigsby out there 8-1 anytime touchdown? Barkley gets him down to the goal line, but maybe he needs a blow. Bigsby comes in and pounds it in. I think that is absolutely doable. And I think when you watch him run, there are moments where he seems way more effective than Saquon. In week 18, and it's against Washington, against the backups, playing with the backups, but he had 16 for 75 and a touchdown. This guy can play. There's a reason why they went out and got him. Howie Roseman has an eye for these things. I wouldn't be shocked if Bigsby is used a little bit once his lines pop and he goes over the number. But more importantly, that anytime touchdown at 8-1 really does intrigue me. Now let's go to the Patriots and Chargers, where New England's laying 3.5, the total. 45.5 as of right now. Mike Vrabel met with the media earlier today. And I thought he had an interesting quote here where he was asked about the mentality and how you approach the playoffs. And here's what he had to say.
Well, we've said this numerous times. You can't just play hard and hope to win. You know, run like this with the football and hope that you're going to be able to break tackles or gain a bunch of yards. So you need production. You need execution. So I think that it helps. You know, I mean, it's critical. And being able to keep our composure, whatever happens in a football game, making sure that we execute in critical situations. So again, I think that the identity is important, but execution and guys making plays and us, you know, all sticking together, is going to mean the most.
Yeah, I think that's the correct mindset. You can't just play hard and hope to win. You have to have a tactical advantage. You have to look at situations that make sense. And Mike Vrabel's had some issues in the playoffs. I feel like people aren't talking about this at all. 2-3. Won two games in his first appearance. Then he lost the next two and then went to the playoffs years 2-4, but then missed them three following years. A lot of things went wrong in Tennessee, and maybe he didn't have the quarterback who could win him enough playoff games to get where they needed to go. But at the same time, there were some shortcomings. I'm very curious to see how this game goes. I'm also a bit concerned because I bet the Chargers right away, and it sounds like everyone else likes the Chargers too. I have not heard a lot of cases to lay it with New England, and maybe I've been severely underrating the Patriots all season long. You know, I was on the Matthew Stafford side of the MVP debate. Maybe I'm going to have to eat some crow, because if Drake May and company come out and they put it on the Chargers, who I'm putting money on and I'm betting on, I got to admit I've been wrong about the Patriots all year. I just have to do that. And we will see how this plays out there. I still like the Chargers to keep it close because of their defense, but Mike Vrabel has proven like he can take the next step as a coach, as a leader. And I liked the way he worded that when he met with the media earlier today. Some news from all the games around the league, including that one. Justin Herbert practiced fully yesterday. Omarion Hampton missed practice the last 2 days. Kayshon Boutte has a hamstring. He was limited in practice for the Patriots. And center Garrett Bradbury dealing with an illness. He missed practice today, and he missed practice on Wednesday as well. So we will see what happens with him. I assume he's going to be good to go to end up playing in the game on Sunday, but that is what New England is currently dealing with. Justin Herbert's been practicing in full, dealing with the hand injury. He sat out week 18. They wanted to get him rested. So we will see how that goes. All right. Gonzaga and Santa Clara tied up at 37s right now. 24.7 to go in the first half. Want to get you an in-game number here. Santa Clara went from, 14 up to 16 as dogs in this game. And right now it's a 10.5-point spread. Zags are laying it. 163.5 is the total. That's not good. We're on over 164. And right now it's a tick below. It was up to 169. It's going against us here. We're going to need some scoring to finish out the half with 24.7 to go. But it is a tie score. Interesting. Interesting matchup. Ohio State up 67-50. Under 6 minutes remaining in Eugene. Keep you posted on all of that. But first, we are going to chat about the wild card weekend with Steve Berline. Calls the Cowboys games, saw a bunch of these playoff teams. What does he make of them and their potential? We'll break it down next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. We've got to tackle a lot when it comes to Wild Card Weekend. We'll do more on the college football playoff, preview the Peach Bowl throughout the night. But I'm excited for our next conversation because our next guest was not just a great quarterback, but also he's seen a lot of the teams that we're going to see play this weekend in Wild Card Weekend. He is Steve Berline, Compass Media analyst, former NFL QB, 14 years in the league, a Super Bowl champ, a Pro Bowler, a pass yard leader, completion percentage leader, and a legend at Notre Dame. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Steve, let's begin here because you saw a lot of these teams up close and personal. And I'm very curious your assessment as a quarterback when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles. because they're 5.5-point favorites to San Francisco. The total in that game is 44.5, and that has been a big talking point, how they get their offense going. What do you see in that offense and Jalen Hurts and company that's going wrong, and how do you think they fix it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to take this. And first off, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. But the Eagles, I think, as we all know, they've been disappointing offensively all year across the board. You know, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, other than, you know, Dallas Goedert, who had a few big games earlier in the year, and you know, Devontae Smith here and there. It's been really a very stagnant offense, but they have shown signs of life the last few weeks. And I think it's a really subtle reason to be optimistic about their offense coming into this weekend. And I think you look at the fact that they rested Jalen Hurts, they rested Saquon Barkley, they rested A.J. Brown. You know, they really got a chance to let a lot of these guys get healthy. And I just, something tells me that they're going to just start showing a little bit more life now that we're, you know, we're in the tournament, and it's a win or go home kind of scenario. I think they're going to turn it up a notch. They've been here before. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. I just think that that week off this past week in a home game in Philadelphia. The other thing that people bring up is why would they have rested everybody? Why would you have not played for that number two seed? And I think it really comes, I think it was really a good decision by Nick Sirianni to rest everybody, because I don't think they're worried, number one, about going into Chicago. I think they think they're a better team than Chicago. I don't think Chicago scares them. And I think, secondly, they also believe that Chicago might not make it past the first round. So there's a very good chance they might have a second home game. And having that extra week to let all those guys rest, get healthy, I think really in the long term, it was probably the right call for the Eagles. And I feel good about them going into this week.
I like that perspective. And you saw both the Packers and Bears. And right now, Green Bay is a 1.5-point favorite. The total's 44.5. I mean, Ben Johnson and the Bears, the cardiac kids, winning in crazy ways down the stretch, but you got to give them a lot of credit. And then Green Bay, they're missing two of their top defensive players. But at the same point in time, they've got plenty of dudes that we recognize from a name value. How do you think this one goes between the two teams from the North?
Well, and I also think one thing that you didn't mention, which I think you understand the value of, and that's experience, playoff experience. And Jordan Love, he could have come back last week they decided to rest him the extra week because the seventh seed was going to be the result no matter whether they won or lost last week. So giving him that extra week to make sure he didn't get bumped up. He's played well in the playoffs. We remember what they did to the Cowboys a couple years ago. I think the experience factor is going to be the difference in this game. I really like Ben Johnson and what he's done with the Bears. But I think we all would agree they've overachieved this year. They've won a lot of games at the end of the game that they probably shouldn't have won. But they've got a lot of confidence. Caleb Williams, to me, has really proved himself that he's got the potential to be that guy for the Chicago Bears long term. But in my opinion, they're a year away. And I think this is going to be a great learning experience for them. They're going to understand that in the playoffs, even if you have the home field, it's turned up a notch. And there's just the margin of error and the emphasis on every single mistake that is made or not made is magnified so much in these games. I like the Packers to be able to come out on top in this game.
And the NFL has a way where you have to build. It's like you lose and you take the next step, and then you lose again, you take another step. That's usually how it goes for these teams. Steve Berline's our guest, Compass Media analyst, former NFL quarterback, 14 years in the league. And you also saw a game with the Carolina Panthers this year, which, you know, depending on which week of the every other week you got, you either saw the good or the bad version of Bryce Young. The Rams are laying 10.5 on the road. The total's 45.5 in Carolina. Panthers punked them once this year. Do you think they do it again, or do you think the Rams take care of business?
Well, first off, and I have to point this out, I'm not upset about this at all, but it's a very common mistake. I played 17 years in the league.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
That's not an issue, but it happens because there were 3 years that I actually played. I was on injured reserve because of an injury.
Ah.
And so those I just didn't get to play that year because of the injury. So I wanted to say that because it was
sorry,
the second
that's
time.
My fault.
Like,
well, that's my
not,
fault.
Not your fault because it happens all the time. It's not a big deal. A lot of because that's what it says in the bio a lot of times. But going to that game, more importantly, there's no way that the Panthers are going to come out on top in this game. As much as I hate to say it, I root for the Panthers. My heart is with the Panthers. The fact that they're relevant again, I'm so excited about it. I do like taking the Panthers with the points. I don't think the Rams are going to run away with this game, but I do believe that the Rams, you know, they were very upset and disappointed in themselves with what happened a few weeks ago when they went to Carolina and lost. I think they learned a lot. It was a wake-up call for them. I think they're going to Carolina. They control this game and win. But I would have a hard time giving the 10.5 points with the Rams, even though I feel like they're going to comfortably win this game. I just think 10.5 is an awful lot playing in Carolina, and their defense has been playing pretty decent. I like the Rams. I feel great about it. I have no doubt they're going to win the game. I just don't know if they're going to win by more than 10. So, but give credit to the Panthers. Give credit to Dave Canales, what he's done, changing the culture there and getting this team into the playoffs. Although they backed in, the bottom line is they're there, and they're going to be better because of it as well. And I think next year they're going to be a much more of a force consistently throughout the year.
Steve Berline is our guest, former NFL quarterback, 17 years in the league, Compass Media. You saw Carolina calling the Cowboys game where Carolina won at home, so you saw the good side there. You also saw the good side of the Chargers late in the season when they were dealing with all the injuries on that offensive line. They beat Dallas 34-17. Talk to me about the Chargers and what you like about them, what you don't like, as they're going to New England as 3.5-point dogs and the total's 45.5.
Well, the Cowboys made every quarterback look good, first off. That was a common theme throughout the year. Every quarterback in the league had their best day. Every quarterback on the Cowboys, and that's not by coincidence. It's just because they were bad. But I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan. I think the benefit of resting him this past week is going to pay off as well. I mean, we know what the guy's played through. Every year he's been as beat up as anybody, but he's a warrior, and having a chance to sit back and get that extra bye week, that extra week where he's not getting beat up. I really like, how that's going to work in the Chargers' favor. Although I just, with what they've been through with that offensive line all year and the struggles that they've had up front, I think they're in a better place now than they have been at any part of the season. I think they can play with anybody. I think they can beat anybody. It wouldn't surprise me if they won this game. But I have a hard time picking them just because, I think in the playoffs, on the road, in January, it's asking an awful lot out of Justin Herbert to find a way to pull this one off. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because he is that great.
He is Steve Berline. Check him out on Compass Media when he's calling the games. Former NFL quarterback at Steve Berline on X. I really appreciate you doing this whenever you jump on the show. Tremendous insight, awesome information. And I mean, I was a big fan of you growing up. I hate to make you feel old, but I was a big fan growing up as well. Thanks for doing this. Hope you and the family have a great new year.
Hey, I appreciate it. And by the way, that never makes me feel old. It makes me feel good that people remember. So I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Steve. Great stuff from the great Steve Berline there. And I agree with a lot of what he said. Philly is a fascinating team. I mean, if there was a team that could put it all together when it matters the most, it's them. The problem is they're also the team that could completely crumble and melt down just because, like, Nick Sirianni is so weird as a leader. It can go either way. Hey, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do that. Cross-platform strategies, podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner of VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. For more information, visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here, broadcasting from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Gonzaga and Santa Clara going at it as hard as they can. Zags early in the second half, up 44-42 right now. We're sweating a bit on the over. We need them to keep the pace up here. But credit to Santa Clara for hanging with them. I thought Santa Clara might be the side, but you just never know with Gonzaga. Like, they can just run away from anyone at any point in time, although Santa Clara just took the lead on a three. Herb Sendex got his best team he's ever had there at Santa Clara. They could be a dangerous team down the stretch, especially when you start thinking about March. Obviously not like a Final Four team, but, you know, in the right matchup against a bigger school, people not giving them enough credit. I think Santa Clara is a team you just want to bookmark and remember for later in the year because I think they're legit. They closed a 16.5-point dogs on the road at Gonzaga, and right now they're up by one very, very early in the second half. As the in-game number has it, 8.5, Gonzaga's laying it. 166.5 the in-game total, that is a positive. We bet over 164 last night. It got pushed up to like 166.5 at some point during the day, and then in-game up to 169.5. We need them to keep shooting. That's what I'll say. It'll be a 6-0 night if we can get them to keep shooting and go over the total here. Something I need. Something I definitely need because I lost a lot of money hedging that Miami ticket and week 18 Sunday in the NFL. I mean, it might take me 2 weeks to recover from what I did to the bankroll there. So it was not very good. It was not very pretty for your boy. But I'll keep you posted on that, what goes down in this game. The one late basketball game we had going on has finished. Ohio State got the win. I want to get the final score, though, in Eugene. Good win on the road, by the way, for Ohio State. They won 72-62. That is a nice win on the road. They're 11-4 on the year. They're 3-2 Big Ten play. Oregon 8-8 now, 1-4 in Big Ten play. Feels like things are slipping for Dana Altman there in Eugene. Not the usual standard we are used to seeing there. All right, wild card weekend, though. There's a lot of interesting props available this week, and I was looking around DraftKings. Some other books have it as well, but DraftKings specifically had these odds put up. You can look at each statistical category and find leaders for the weekend, not just for the day, for the weekend, to lead the wild card weekend in passing yards, rushing yards, and rush leaders. So I wanted to try and find at least one in each of these markets to bet before we go into the weekend. So let's begin by looking at the most passing yards. As right now, your favorite is Matthew Stafford at 3.5-1. I wouldn't bet it. He may do it, by the way. Like, he could very well do it. I understand why he's number one. But if the Rams have a lead late, are they really going to be throwing it all over the yard? Or are they going to run the ball and try to put away the Panthers? That feels like the vibe there. I'm not thinking about Drake May because I think it's a really tough matchup against that Chargers defense. I like CJ Stroud a little at 6-1. Pitt pass defense is horrible. They're 30th allowing 261 yards per game to quarterbacks. And I'm also not sure how reliable the Houston run game is. So you could exploit the Steelers defense and their weaknesses through the air. But my concern is, you know, Houston's a road favorite. Again, more running late, and I'm not so sure C.J. Stroud on that offense is capable of putting up monster passing numbers, although maybe because it's the playoffs, a huge day, like a 280, 90, 300-yard day isn't what's going to lead the weekend in passing. C.J. Stroud is someone I'm considering. Another guy I'm considering is down at 8.5-1. That'd be Brock Purdy. You know, VSiN.com/NFL props, Opta AI, same player, same analytics brand that does soccer in the UK. They do our player props over at VSiN.com. They have him going for 283 this week. That's their biggest output of all the passers by like 30 yards. Philly's defense against the pass is great, but you know, San Francisco's an underdog. It's up to 5.5 points. They're going to be trailing. That could be more throws late in this game for him on the road. And he's got plenty of weapons who can make plays. You got Kittle, you have Jennings, you have Pearsall, McCaffrey catching it out of the backfield. And I'm not so sure McCaffrey and the ground game are going to get going against that front for Philly with Jalen Carter back. Because of that, they could be forced to pass more. And just because there's a volume of attempts coming from Purdy, I think he makes sense. And then the last one I'm thinking about is Jordan Love. 11-1. He had 234 against the Bears a few weeks ago. He had 77 in the game he was knocked out of. Last year, he left one of the Chicago games with a hand injury, had 69 in that one, had 261 in the other. He had 245 and 316 against the Bears defense in 23. I weirdly expect a shootout, even though weather is suggesting otherwise, but I think this game's going to go over. I really like the over in this game. Chicago's allowing almost 240 yards per game through the air to quarterbacks, But ultimately, of those three, the play that I'll place is Brock Purdy, 8.5 to 1 to lead the weekend in passing, because a lot of the stat nerds tell me, I don't really understand how to read your flow charts and your information, but you're telling me he's playing at an elite level, like a top of the league level. I'll buy it. And they're underdogs, so they'll be throwing against the Eagles. Now, how about most receiving yards? Because this is a really tricky market again, because this is correlated. And now maybe a team gets up early using the pass and then they run late, but the receivers could put up good numbers. That's a world we could live in. But I'm hesitant to find someone that I think at the top of the board is going to do it. Like Puka, I'm not going to touch. He's too short. Nico Collins, I understand. I don't love. A.J. Brown at third on the list at 13-1, that's where it gets interesting. You know, A.J. Brown last faced the Niners in 2023. He had 8 for 114 against them. Hurt since a lot of consternation early in the year has been forcing him the ball more later in the season. Here and there, there's some games where they don't connect, but I think this could be a spot where A.J. Brown gets going at home. The other guy is the other receiver from Philly. Devontae Smith makes sense. He's 19-1. And the last time he saw this San Francisco defense, obviously very different, 9 for 96. I think Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown intrigue me. My problem is whenever I bet on Brown, Smith goes off. Whenever I bet on Smith, Brown goes off. I can't really get them right. And then the other guy I'm considering is a long shot bet. We're going to look at Romeo Doubs at 50-1. You know, Chicago is just 26th, allowing 157 yards per air to opposing receivers. This is more of just like a vibes thing when it comes to Packers receivers, because let's be real. If you can pinpoint which receiver is going to go off for the Packers, if it's Watson, if it's Reed, if it's Doubs, your guess is as good as mine. Doubs, to me, feels like that critical go-to big game guy for Jordan Love to turn to. So I think Doubs at 50-1 is the one I'd consider. If I'm going to bet any of these, give me A.J. Brown, though. A.J. Brown, 11-1. Is the direction I'm going to look for receiving yard leader this weekend. Now, rushing yard leader, there's like two names that I really like. Let me first unveil the ones that aren't at the top of my list. One, Ramondre Stevenson has a long shot, 50-1. I know it's crazy, but for some reason, Mike Vrabel can't quit Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know what he's got, but Travion Henderson's the better running back. Their snap share is pretty close. Stevenson gets a lot of work, and it doesn't really track for me because Henderson is clearly a more explosive, better back. But, you know, Stevenson still out-snapping Henderson. It is a tough matchup, so I'll stay away from that long shot. Christian McCaffrey's 12-1. Maybe I'm wrong about them not being able to establish the run on the road as underdogs against Philly, and he does get volume. The number is most interesting that CMC is 12-1, but I think he's 12-1 for a reason, because I think the market's anticipating he's not going to get the normal workload on the ground. He's going to be more of a pass catcher this upcoming weekend. That leads me to my two favorite in this market, and that is first off Josh Jacobs, 7-1. Josh Jacobs to lead the wild card weekend in rushing yards at 7-1. He had 76 against them in November, 44 in week 17, but he was banged up. He's at the healthiest he's been. Feels like it's when it's the postseason, you want to rely on that run game. You want to be risk adverse, especially as a favorite on the road for the Packers. I think that starts by getting Jacobs going against a front that cannot slow down the run very well. It's a great matchup for him. The Chicago Bears allowing 104.2 to running backs. That's 23rd in the league. I really like Josh Jacobs. And the other guy I like is the biggest favorite of the weekend. It's Kyren Williams at 8.5 to 1, because theoretically the Rams are up big. It's late in the game. They're running out the clock. Is Kyren Williams on the field for that? I still think it's close enough where he has to be to put the game on ice. But Kyren Williams, I thought that's a pretty good number for a team that's such a big favorite, 8.5 to 1. He had 72 against them 6 games ago. He cleared this number in 5 of 6 of his 67.5 rush yards. I'm not sure how involved Blake Corum's going to be this week, just because he was dealing with an injury at the end of the year. Kyren Williams is a guy they were trying to keep healthy for this point in the year, to make a run, to utilize him, give him the rock 20, 22, 23 times. And I think they do that here to put away Carolina. They can't play with fire again. They got burnt last time. So you don't mess around. You hand the ball to Kyren Williams. That's my favorite play. So of these markets, we're going to go Kyren Williams 8.5 to 1. A.J. Brown at 13-1 or 11-1, and Brock Purdy at 8.5 to 1. That would be one bet for each of these markets. Let's lock them in. Let's have a little bit of fun. Wild card weekend. Right now is the best time of year for bettors, and the all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action. football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSiN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, get minus 105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game or every playoff game. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or over. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot to get to over the course of the next hour of the show. We've got a conversation with Colby Dant talking about the college football playoff in about 35 minutes. But when we return, we go behind the counter at the Westgate. Where is the money going in Wild Card Weekend? Plus, how do we analyze Indiana and Oregon in the Peach Bowl? That's on the other side of Cashing Out.